When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. I think when you live in a certain bubble like we do here with the New York sports team, sometimes you tend to either overrate or overstate things, but I really don't think that I am doing that when I say that the Jets right now are in the worst situation out of every single team in the NFL.
It's not good.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's you could say the Carolina Panthers, you could, but like,
I wouldn't, because I still think while he hasn't been good yet, and I don't know that he ever will be, there still has to be some sense of hope for Bryce Young. That has to be a little bit. In this case with the Jets, everything is a mess. Yeah. Like, everything is a mess.
Yeah, so the Bears, we were talking about them.
That's a good one.
But they've got Caleb Williams, who I think there's also hope there with him. And they'll end up getting a new coaching staff, and hopefully it doesn't ruin him having to learn another offense. Or if it does ruin him, maybe people will be happy about that too, because he's not well liked, that guy. Other than that, those two examples, the Jets are in the worst situation out of every single team in the National Football League. And it's not just because of their record right now. It's the future.
It's, yeah.
What do they do?
And it's at multiple spots. Like, what do you do at the coach, given what the quarterback spot is? Does the quarterback come back? Does the quarterback want to be back? Is Aaron Rodgers finished? If he is finished, they're in cap hell next year because of what the cap hit is. Does a coach want to come in only if Aaron Rodgers comes back for a year? Or would a coach want to come in and start over? Does a coach want this job?
Well, yeah, no.
I mean, it's brutal.
No. And that's the thing, and that's why I brought up John Gruden the other day, why I think he's absolutely perfect, is because he provides two things in this weird situation that I think fit perfectly for the Jets. One, a personality, you know, someone to come in and be like, all right, that's the guy. Because when the Jets have been good, they've had that head coach, Bill Parcells, Rex Ryan, I'm the guy, buck stops here, and John Gruden would provide that. And also, John Gruden will coach for anybody that asks him to coach, because he was kicked out of the league for those emails, which were bad.
Mm-hmm.
But I do believe, you know, he should be given a second chance, just a matter of if Roger Goodell allows that, because he said some really, really horrible things about Roger Goodell in those emails. But they were leaked emails. You know, I mean, these were not, you know, these were things that he thought were private. And if everybody's private conversations or emails or text messages were out there, I mean, there'd be a lot of people that'd be pissed off about a lot of things. So that's why I really think that is the way to go, man. That's the only guy that I think you could get excited about coming to coach the Jets next year. That's a realistic possibility.
Well, I think anytime your team needs a head coach, you're usually obviously disappointed by the way the last season ended. But also there's a new sense of, I'll use the word hope again, that the next guy is going to come in and turn it around. Then there is, what level of coach are you hiring? While I'm sure their resumes were very good, because you don't get hired as a head coach if it's not, I don't believe there's anybody that was in Chicago that was excited that Matt Eberflus was named the head coach. I don't think anybody in Indianapolis was fired up that Shane Steichen was named the head coach. Again, I'm sure it wasn't a bad hire, but those aren't the sexy names of Parcells, Belichick, you say Gruden. If a guy like Tomlin was let go, you don't think if a team needed a head coach and you found out Mike Tomlin was coming in, that wouldn't fire up the fan base? And I agree with you. I think a John Gruden would kickstart a fan base that's been kicked in the face year after year.
You can't hire another coordinator who's not been a head coach before. You can't. And then those best guys like Ben Johnson, who have been picky already, who could have had a job this year, decided not to have a job. There's no way he's going to the Jets. I mean, Rob Sala, very respected guy amongst coaches, got done dirty by the owner. That's whether you think he was a bad coach and deserved to be fired or not. The fact remains that people in the league like Rob Saleh. They saw what Woody Johnson did to him, and they think that that's nuts. Bill Belichick, one of the most respected coaches in the history of the game, trashes Woody Johnson on a weekly basis on national TV. Joe Douglas, well-respected throughout the NFL. He was an up-and-coming guy. The Eagles loved him. The Ravens loved him. When he was made the Jets GM, everybody lauded it. That's perfect. Woody Johnson comes in and takes all the power away from Joe Douglas. So nobody in the league worth anything is going to take that job. So you got to think outside the box. And obviously Jeff Ulbrich's not going to be the guy. And for the Jets, and one of the reasons that everybody loved the Aaron Rodgers trade and bringing him here, and we all, at least I did, and thought it was a great idea, is because the Jets need some sort of cataclysmic shift to get out of whatever this cycle is, this whirlpool of crap that they have been in for so long. And I thought that he would be the guy.
I did, too.
He's not. So
really,
now what?
We were off on that one.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if it's the injury last year. I have no idea. The energy around this team, though, going into that opener last season was something I have never really experienced. Even in 86 when the Giants won, and 90 when they won, you knew they were good teams. But I don't know. There was a feeling about this Jets team last year with Rodgers coming in as the savior with a good roster. It seemed like it made sense. And, man, when he got hurt, air out of the balloon, and they never really recovered it. And maybe it's because of all the off-the-field crap that continues to follow him, or he continues to make headlines. I don't know. But that bloom is off that rose. And I don't know. You mentioned Joe Douglas. Does he even want to come back as GM with what's happened this year?
No way.
Right, so you're talking about a team that will be, that could be essentially faceless in the front office, aside from the owner.
Yeah.
When the season's over.
Right. So you talk about the head coach not wanting to come here. That's another part of this. A general manager worth a hill of crap. Is he going to want to come here? Now, you look at some of the other guys that had worked with John Gruden throughout the years and see if they're still around or available in a relationship there. Certainly won't be Mike Mayock, because that situation was a failure there with the Raiders. But that's what it's going to have to be. It's going to be someone who wasn't going to get a chance normally to come in to a situation where you're like, okay, you know, the Jets are in dire straits, and they need, like the Rex Ryan coming back thing, like not in the middle of the season, but like in the off season, is not the craziest idea.
No, I think it's very real.
Because he's desperate to get back in, and no one else would hire him, and no one else is going to work for the Jets. I mean, it's now, what about the Cowboys? I'm not trolling you at all, but that's a bad situation right now too. Is it not, looking into the future?
I actually don't think it's a bad situation. I think the two names I have mentioned over and over and over again, and Deion Sanders and Bill Belichick, I think would go there with different, I don't want to say expectations, that's not the right word, but they would have a different philosophy, I think, in the way they do things. Bill Belichick would go in there with a four-year plan, and that's probably it. It's the same thing they did when they hired Parcells. Come in, clean up, tweak it, and they thought they'd win within 4 years, and I think Parcells was close to doing that. And then Wade Phillips took a very good team into the playoffs, but never got any further than that. I know a lot of fans don't think much of Dak Prescott. I do think he's a good quarterback. I don't know where he ranks in the NFL. I don't care. I do think he's a good player. They've got a very good wide receiver. Their offensive line has a lot of youth on it. The issue for me would be defensively. How can they manipulate the money to make that a better unit? Because that's kind of where they've lost personnel, if you will, dealing with the salary cap. I think that team did win 12 games last year. You know, this was a really good team that did not lose at home. I thought they were severely outcoached in that playoff game, and it kind of continued into this year. I think if indeed Mike McCarthy is let go at the end of the year, assuming there's no big turnaround here, I think someone could go in and win with that team. I do.
I got one that's worse than the Jets.
A worse situation.
Yeah. I think, to be fair.
Wow, well, hold on. Just give me the division.
I'll give you the conference. It's AFC.
Okay.
If I give you the division, you
give me
the
Patriots?
Right, no, not the Patriots.
Not the Patriots.
You'll know right away. I forgot them, too, because
they've
been
ahead.
Sort of irrelevant. But the Cleveland Browns.
Oh, yeah.
With Deshaun Watson and that unbelievable contract. What the hell are they going to do with that thing?
I think he probably comes back one more time.
Yeah.
I think you have to, don't you?
I guess.
He's got, what, 3 years left, no, after this?
At least. Yeah.
at least.
Of guaranteed money at around, what, $40, $50 million a year.
Yeah, which is amazing because the Browns and the Jets have been the butt of a lot of jokes in the NFL for a very long time, and here they are again as the two organizations in the worst situation possible.
Just never seem to get it right. Ever.
Yeah. I mean, and there's been guys, like, it's almost... It really is amazing that certain people go to organizations and that guys that you think are smart and then other people laud the hires and then they get into the vortex of these organizations and they become idiots.
They get swallowed up.
I mean, honestly, it's true. Yeah. Like, you think about the Browns and all those guys that have been hired over the years at people like, oh, this is the next genius, or that guy's the next genius, or this guy. And it's always a mess. And the same with the Jets.
How much do you think the noise from the outside plays into it? And when I say this, I'd be the same type of fan. So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I am not faulting the Jet fan or the Browns fan because they've seen crap for years and years and years. But in terms of, I'll use the word patience, and now I will cue the Jet fan. Patient, we've been patient for 40 years. Absolutely. In terms of the noise hits quickly. And how much now, especially with social media, guys do see it. I remember, I forget who it was. It might have been Calvin Pace when I was covering the Jets. I remember asking him, I think it was Pace, asking him if he was aware of like the history of the Jets. Like, when you walk in here, is it same old Jets? Like, is that a real thing? And I think when I asked him, he said no. But by the time he left, he might have said yes. And I did ask Willie Colon when he sat here too, asking him about that too. And he would say that guys come in there, fresh mind, hey, I got a great job. And yeah, you hear it. And I almost wonder when you're a team that has an organization that has just kicked yourself in the face year after year after year, how quickly it starts to affect the players and just seeps into that locker room.
Yeah. You know, Steve Cohen said it best after, I think it was the Philadelphia series when the Mets moved on, and he was interviewed by Steve Gelb, and he goes, I want to change the negative perception of the Mets fan. And this is exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Like, and if you think about the Steve Cohen tenure where he first started, okay, you know, the Baez Lindor situation and then the thumbs down, mm-hmm. where like these guys came in here full of energy and positivity, and the next thing you know, they're losing games and they hate the fans and they're thumbs downing to the fans. Like the Scherzer and Verlander signings and how 2022 just went right into the crapper with Max Scherzer, at least, and you know how they fell apart in the Braves series and all that noise around him. And all of a sudden, they become part of the story that they kept hearing about. And now all of a sudden, it used to be, oh, we're a new team. It's different. We have nothing to do with that. But then when you're on the losing end of one of these bad series or these bad situations, now you're all a part of it. You know, now you and Mo Vaughn and Kevin Apier and Jason Bay, you're all together now. Yeah. So I think that's exactly what it is, and the Jets had it worked out. They changed it. They had it with Rex Ryan, and they changed the whole mentality. And then Idzik comes in, and then you know Tebow first, and then Idzik, and the whole thing just
that Tebow one.
Oh my God,
that was a bad one. And I will say, because I heard Al, I think it was Al talking with CeeLo about this morning, or maybe it was me and him yesterday. I have no idea. Are the Jets cursed? You hear that all the time. And, I mean, I've grown up my whole life thinking that was probably the case. But I'll always come back to the same thing. The Red Sox and the Cubs. Those are two teams that I never thought I would see win ever in my lifetime, nor did their fan bases. If they figured it out, and then, hell, the Red Sox went on to win, what, three of them?
Mm-hmm.
If they can figure out at some point the Jets can, but they got to do it. And we got to stop talking about it because, my God, 1995, I met Joe. Joe B., I never thought we'd still be sitting here in 2024, and this would have been what the next 30 years was. It's remarkable.
Yeah, it really is, and there has to be something about that. There has to be something about the history of the organization affecting the current players, whether they like it or not, or feel it or not. It eventually catches up to them. I mean, it has to.
Maybe the Jets can hire Theo Epstein.
Yeah, he was the guy who went to both of those curses, yeah.
Yeah, in both cases.
Wow. Yeah, that's why I wanted the Mets to get him.
I know.
But David Stearns has done a pretty good job in the early going.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
CeeLo, I'll ask you the same question. You think the Jets are in the worst situation out of anybody in the NFL?
Wow.
See, I said yes, and then I left a team out, and I was like, all right, they're second.
Left a team out, the Panthers?
No, because we decided that the Panthers are in a little bit better of a situation.
Which team are you leaving out?
I forgot about the Browns and the Deshaun Watson contract.
Yeah, that is pretty bad.
Those two teams really are, like, 1-1A.
Yeah. Yep. Every single year. Over and over and over
again. I mean, because as I understand it, no matter what happens with Rodgers, even if he retires, it's $49 million
dead
cap,
that's the problem. That's the problem. And if you're going to bring in a new head coach, does he want Aaron Rodgers? Or if you bring in a new coach that only wants Aaron Rodgers and you only have him for 1 year, do you have to convince him to come back? Does he want to come back? There's so many questions to be answered.
I'm pretty sure you guys, Gio, I know you touched on this yesterday. Who wants this job right now?
Nobody. Well, that's the thing.
Oh, no, no. You identified two guys that you think would excite the fan
base. And who
Rex Ryan.
Oh, wow. Yeah, right.
Bringing Rex back.
Rex would take any job right now, which we're going to get to here.
Yeah, but Gruden's the one.
I like that, actually.
Yeah, I started talking about that the other day, and I had just seen him like doing like a TikTok video, breaking down film and reinventing himself.
Tremendous.
And then as we were talking about who's going to take this job, and like it all just came together, I was like,
I'll tell you what, too. Like I told you yesterday, walking out of that stadium Sunday, you know who else would like him back?
Tampa
the
Bay?
Tampa fans.
Yeah.
If I would have shut my eyes walking to the car Sunday, you would have swore this was leaving MetLife Stadium and a Jet loss with the way they were talking about Todd Bowles and his
none
conservative.
None of us are surprised by
that. No, I know. I'm just saying.
Jeez.
Shut up, Derry.
Yeah, no.
Another guy we'd say he's a really nice man, but just not a good head coach.
Right. Well, you know what? They have played very, very tough and lost some crazy games.
But conservative in spots where a lot of the fans talking about that Kansas City game, not going for two. And then even Sunday, you get down to the 4-yard line and you just run the ball into the middle of the line on two plays and you've got one shot then to take the lead. And that's, you know, you end up kicking the field and you lose the game.
And I'd probably feel the same way if I was a Bucs fan. I just think comparing that team and the fight that they have and the entertaining football they play to the crap we have here, I guess that's why I'm thinking that way.
I don't attribute that to him, though. Maybe that's unfair.
What is?
The fight, the energy. I mean, that to me, that's...
It was like
Baker Mayfield
and everything, yeah.
I mean, he's got to be part of it.
Mm.
Oh, I don't think I don't think he's a bad coach. I don't. I think, and we talked to Willie, they love Todd Bowles. They did, but sometimes a little too conservative.
Again, I think they liked him as a man, as a person, but I learned all I needed to learn the way they played that Week 17 game in Buffalo.
Which was embarrassing, yep.
I mean... I think to me, that's all. I told you all you needed to know.
All right, CeeLo, tell us more about what we need to know.
Okay. Brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. The latest day after for Jets interim head coach Jeff Ulbrich assessing the carnage that was Sunday's road loss to the Cardinals. So they are 3-7 on a road to nowhere. Obviously, all those missed tackles against Arizona and many, including those on this radio station, using the word quit to describe the effort and performance of the defense. So not asking that exact frame, but Ulbrich addressing what looked like the lack of effort from his defense Sunday against Arizona.
Obviously, everyone is pissed. There's collective anger, frustration, all those things. I have not felt anyone wavering, though, as far as still committed to being together and getting this done together.
The Kyler Murray touchdown, I had missed in that highlight in watching the game.
The thing to say is, which one? But go ahead.
But the one that was just played, of the guy crawling on his hands and knees to try to get to him. Was that Quincy Williams?
Let's see. Let's see again here. I believe it was.
I mean, that's... You guys see that? I had missed that yesterday.
And then Sauce at the goal line. I mean, not that he was going to stop him, but God.
My God.
That might be the most embarrassing defensive highlight of the year.
And they had several the other day.
This game, I mean, Quincy gets that blindside shot on Kyler. His helmet falls off.
Yeah, popped off, yeah.
And I believe...
Wasn't he supposed to come out for a play? I don't know,
but my point is, I mean, Kyler Murray's not a big man, as you know, right?
Yeah.
And he just dusts himself off, 2nd and 17, and they go down the field and punch it in the end zone. I mean, that you want to talk about what we lack energy? Your linebacker, your all-pro linebacker just lights up a free shot, no flag, and you would think you'd draw something from that.
No.
Fire you up.
Dead.
flatline.
I mean, what a mess. One more from Ulbrich. Hey, it's tough coaching this team right now, but I'm what they've got.
It's not easy at all, you know, and but at the same time, like, in my opinion, it's what this team needs. You know, they need someone that's unwavering right now. They need someone that's strong.
Yeah.
They need to win. That's what they need.
Colts are coming to town this weekend, and they're winless since Joe Flacco took over for Anthony Richardson as the QB, at least from a starting standpoint. Shane Steichen did confirm yesterday Flacco will get another start again on Sunday, so we'll see if he comes in and, you know, shreds one of his former teams. Of course, he doesn't have the running element the way Kyler Murray did, but it wouldn't it be fitting? He's looked not great the last couple of weeks. If he comes in here and starts throwing the ball.
Yeah, it'd be absolutely perfect. Now, this is a serious question, Al. I want a serious answer from you on this. What is the monetary value? How much money would you have to be paid to go to Jets Colts this weekend?
I thought you were going to say to watch the game.
At least it's a 1 o'clock game now.
So formally you have to. You got here are all the parameters. You got to get there by noon, and you got to sit through all four quarters.
Can I guess what I think the number would be? I think I'm not even joking. I think it would start at $50,000.
Oh, come on.
No.
No?
No. I'd go for $1,000,
yeah,
probably.
That's what I thought.
$1,000
cash would go to the Jet game?
Really?
Yeah.
I would do that.
A transportation to and from provided for, right?
Well, I'll pay for. No, I can figure that out. I'm
stunned.
$1,000.
Me too. I am stunned by that answer.
I thought you'd say five.
50 grand? Yeah.
The way you haven't sat here with him every day, the way he hates it.
Why listen to you?
Like,
guys,
I saw his eyes. He looked like Satan yesterday when he was talking about the Giants and the Jets.
Well, that's where this question came from in the warm up show. He goes, "You got to be a complete loser, fool, idiot to go to this game." So I was thinking he'd say at least 5,000.
I thought you were going to say a really absurd number to ruin your weekend because of how it would ruin your week leading into it.
And the Monday and thinking about that.
And traffic and getting out of that parking lot.
Yeah, I think, like CeeLo said, if it was a 4 o'clock game, it would be probably $5,000.
Well, it was originally 8:20. Wow.
So that would
night.
Be $10,000.
Even that's lower than I thought. Okay. I didn't even think what I said was crazy.
Where do I sign for someone to pay me $1,000 to go watch an NFL game?
You know what? If while you're sitting in that traffic leaving that stadium, you'd say $1,000's not enough. That's what I think.
Probably the morning of, I'd be like, what did I sign up for?
I would agree with that, too.
Do they buy him alcohol, though?
No, I think he drives home.
I think, No, that's why you get a ride there and back, you know.
See, I don't know. I think he has to figure that out on his own.
Right, like a ride there and back, that's really eating into my $1,000.
No, that's paid for.
See, I don't want to do that because, I'm talking about like what a regular fan would do.
You need the whole experience.
Right, like a drive to the game, get there, have to deal with the parking, watch the game.
Sit through the commercials.
Right, all of that. You know, not some preferential treatment situation.
No Wintersboro situation.
Right.
And it might be 48 degrees. You got to be dressed properly.
Really? Yeah, only $1,000.
Thousand's not enough, Al.
Yeah, I'm
not,
stunned.
No, it's not. It's not. See, here we go.
And that getting out of that parking lot could take you 2 hours, as you know. So a 1 o'clock game, 4 o'clock, 5, you might not get home till 7 o'clock on a work night.
Yeah, how would that morning after warm-up show go for you, Jerry?
I'm sorry. Yeah, that would not be good. Yeah.
All right, so what's your new answer?
$22.50.
And not a penny less. All right.
The sad part is people are shelling out that much to actually go watch this game.
I know.
Not get paid it. So, we played the Brian Daboll audio last hour, non-committal to Daniel Jones, the starting QB heading into the bye week. So they're going to evaluate the entire team before getting ready to host the aforementioned Bucks in week 12. Monday Night Football from SoFi Stadium saw the visiting Dolphins set the tone on their very first possession.
Tua under center, tight end in motion. There's the snap. It's the end around coming to Washington 20. Got a block 15. Numbers 10. Near side end 5. Pylon dive. Touchdown. Miami. Oh, what a statement. On the game opening drive, they go 70 yards.
That, of course, is Kevin. Great point. Yeah. Courtesy of Westwood One Sports. Rookie Malik Washington with the 18-yard touchdown run to open the scoring. Tyreek Hill later caught a TD pass from Tua Tagovailoa, and the Miami defense held the Rams to 5 Josh Cardi field goals, eventually defeating LA 23-15. They improved to 3-6. All right, let's get to
CeeLo, I made a mistake. At the beginning of this segment, I was supposed to tell everybody we are giving away Boomer and Geo live tickets next hour. and you have to listen this hour. So this is the way we've been doing it with Yankee tickets and now with Boomer and Geo Live tickets. So Eddie's going to play a drop this hour. Do not call now. You call next hour when you hear the drop again in the 8 a.m. hour, 866-540-WFAN, 866-540-9326. You got to be caller number 7. So this is the drop you got to remember.
Hard stool.
Hard stool.
Hard stool.
Boomer saying hard stool.
Hard stool.
So when you hear hard stool next hour, that's when you call 866-540-WFAN, 866-540-9326. You got to be caller number 7. You get Boomer and Geo Live tickets Friday, November 22nd at the Paramount in Huntington. There's some tickets available, VIP tickets. Jose Iglesias will be performing, oh my God, in person with his dancers, and he's a part of the meet and greet. So go to WFAN.com/live to get some of the handful of remaining tickets that are there for you. And we'll have a winner next hour as well when you hear
hard stool.
Yeah, right. So there you go. CeeLo.
Now, I know you passed on this last time on the Jersey side, but now that you're back on the Long Island side, is there a Schwartz element to this?
We tried. He declined.
You tried?
He declined.
He declined.
Yeah. Yes.
The offer wasn't high enough?
So I didn't handle the negotiations this time because last time I ended up having to pay lots of money to send his family to the outdoor game. So I was like, I don't want to be the negotiator here.
So who was?
The Big Hurls back there.
Okay.
Yeah, Big Hurls handled it.
And he drew the line in the sand and...
Well, I guess. I actually have not talked to Ryan about what happened in that conversation. I just know that Schwartz declined. So the original plan was to have Big Zoo play this part that we're talking about. And Big Zoo declined because it's the opening night of the Wicked movie, and he's taking his girlfriend to it.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah, I thought it was originally the Broadway show.
No, the movie.
It's the movie that he's taking her to.
Yeah.
A movie.
It's a big
that you
deal.
Can watch.
My wife's a good time. My wife's going with a friend or else I'd be taking her too.
Yeah, but you're right. Yeah. Okay, interesting choice by Zoo.
Let's go, baby!
And then we had Ryan go to Schwartz, and then Schwartz declined. So playing that role now...
I have a guess. Marash.
No, he has a different
role. Okay.
He has a different role.
All right.
Zach Gelb will be playing that role now.
All right.
So he'll do anything for WFAN. That's the way I'm going to present it. Like
yes.
he wants to get...
He loves this place.
He wants to get here so bad, like all of us wanted to, that he'll do anything. So now he's going to be doing anything.
And you don't have to pay for it like you would with Schwartz.
Right. He's just going to be happy to be a part of the family and just happy to be there.
Family.
Yes, so he gets it. Some people do, some people don't.
Understood.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the Micah Parsons stuff. You guys, I know, played his post-game comments yesterday on Mike McCarthy and Zach Martin, so on and so forth. So took a lot of heat for that yesterday, including from Rex Ryan, who lit into Parsons on ESPN.
If you would work half as freaking hard as a damn coach does, maybe you'd be able to play every damn game. Maybe your team wouldn't just be a bunch of punks and lay it down every damn week like you're doing. How about being a damn football team? You're going to sell your damn coach out? It's a crockish, you know what.
He did curse, actually.
He did.
Oh, really?
And yeah, Greenberg was like, I'm actually okay with you using that word.
BS.
Yeah, he exactly.
Did.
Yes.
The only thing
about
man,
sounded
like
all
he
right.
was talking to his son, like in high school. Like, you know, maybe if you did your homework, you wouldn't be getting F's and you could go to a damn college and it wouldn't have to be out of.
Like, that's what he was. He sounded
Rex
like.
Rex feels forced on TV sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's trying to be like. It sounds like a producer is telling them, like, say, like, talk to him like you would if you were, like, in the locker room.
Yeah.
Like, trying to fire up a team or whatever. Like, that's what we need to hear from
Yeah.
him.
Well, you had that from Rex. Damian Woody got in on as well. So, naturally, Parsons then goes on his podcast, and he kind of, I thought, played the role of victim a little bit. I don't know, Jerry, if you think that's fair or unfair. Specifically in regards to Woody, who we did not hear from, calling him out for, you know, running his mouth after he's just come back from injury.
I've never missed a game in my career, not college, not high school. To say that I'm just missing games because of injury, like it's just some injury after I suffered a significant injury playing the game that we love. Someone who's been around teams and legends at that can say, like, that's how I know we all have to see through the BS of what these TV analysts are trying to do.
And then as for Rex, he basically says he doesn't have any credibility because he's just after a coaching job in Dallas.
For a guy like Rex Ryan, I just know he wanted to coach the Cowboys. Like, I'm perfectly happy that we have Zimmerman because if we have a guy that's willing to go on TV and provide this type of nonsense, imagine what he
Zimmerman.
Could do to a locker room.
Yeah. Right. I know the name of his defensive
Who's
coordinator.
Been in the league forever. Of course, that'd be Mike Zimmer.
Wow.
Zimmerman.
That's pretty bad.
Does, if Eddie, if I say Zimmerman, does a story pop into your mind?
Well, the old football writer, S.I., no. goes,
Dr. Z.
No. Mm-hmm. What about you?
No.
You guys don't know the Ack story with Regis? So Ackerman, Rich Ackerman, who's been an anchor around here forever, lovely guy, became friends with Regis Philbin back in the day at a gym.
Yeah.
They talked all the time, except when I guess he called him Zimmerman once instead of Ackerman.
Oh.
And so, yeah, like Rich said, I was crushed. But, you know, they talked about it. It was funny. And then you move on.
Yeah. Do you
remember? In this case, he's his coach.
Right. Really bad.
You got to know
again,
his name.
A guy who not only is his coach, been in the league forever, head coach, well known.
He was coaching the Cowboys when Parsons wasn't alive.
Do you remember that Regis Philbin trying to find Ackerman a date thing?
Went on the show.
I do remember that. Yeah.
Crazy. The entire
Regis loved him.
No, I know, but it was just incredible that they used all of their resources to set him up on a date, like a national TV show, and they still didn't work.
What's stranger, the Regis Ackerman dynamic or Summers and Seinfeld?
Regis and Ackerman, 100% Regis
agree.
And Ackerman.
Yeah, I get. I mean, I don't know. Rich is a sweet guy, though. He is. Like, I could see him. But, like, that doesn't surprise me.
It's just amazing. Like, yeah, he'd met in a gym, and Summers met Seinfeld at a, you
well,
know.
Hold on, but Steve bodega, Summers is a very unique character.
That's true.
Like, it's the way, you know, the way he did the show. He was a host. He's just one of a kind. You know. I love Rich, but like you could find 50 Rich Ackermans when you stumble outside, right? I mean, it's just like he's a guy going about his business and handles his stuff, and he's a nice guy. He's whatever.
Yeah, I
get it.
You
run into Summers, you're like, what is this an alien? You run into Ackerman, you're like, this is a guy.
Yeah, right? No, I hear what you're saying. Yeah, Rich is a normal guy. Steve Summers was a character and one that Seinfeld, who, as he said, listened to from time to time.
That is different.
Good point.
Meet randomly.
What's going on there, Chief?
I actually saw Ack the other day. It was great. We touched elbows.
Yeah. Like, guys, going on there? What do you think, huh?
Fucking up to Reese. What do you got there? 50-pound dumbbells there.
Rich Ackerman.
You hit the treadmill there.
Indeed, that's exactly how it sounded.
Everybody you know, Rich Ackerman.
Yes.
He was on Regis.
I know, it's incredible.
Unbelievable.
I love Ack. And by the way, he's doing great. He had like a major neck surgery. He's doing awesome.
Which kept him out for a little while.
Yeah, I know. So he's it was good to see him.
Last year.
Last summer, right?
Yeah, it was
more recent that I missed. I was like,
No, but it was a long rehab for him.
Yes.
So he's looking great and feeling great. So
absolutely. Quickly, the Nets did beat the Pelicans in New Orleans, 107-105. How about that Noah Clowney, Jerry? Big game from him last night.
I don't know why that's funny.
No. It's for me. Like, it's not that the funny directed towards you, but I'm circling back because you brought it up last hour. And I was like, what about him? And he hit five threes.
If you saw any of the game, which you did not, you would know that he hit a lot of big shots.
Now, how did you manage to see this game when you're calling Rutgers?
I listened to the fourth quarter on my way home from Rutgers, and then I got home. I saw the last 2 minutes.
Checked it out. Very good. Yeah. So they had a bunch of guys in double figures. They win. They got the Celtics tomorrow, and then they'll play the Knicks Friday and Sunday. Knicks Sixers tonight. All the hockey locals in action as well. And I know I brought it up last hour. For those that don't follow hockey, you do have the 14-1 Winnipeg Jets at the Garden tonight against the Rangers.
All right. Thanks, CeeLo. It's Boomer and Geo.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
It's a story out there that Barstool has been talking about for a number of days. It has a lot to do with Dave Portnoy and his podcast that he has, the BFFs podcast with Brianna Chicken Fry and Josh Richards. Now, I think her last name is LaPaglia, but everybody knows her as Brianna Chicken Fry. She was dating country music star Zach Bryan for a very long time. Now, I am like happy to see that this guy's kind of getting roasted, just because for whatever reason, I never liked him at all. Like, I was like, I didn't like his music. I couldn't get into it. I didn't like his face. I was like, why don't I not like, everybody loves this guy. I don't like this guy. So maybe it was just like the world was telling me that he was a scummer. But apparently, so they break up Zach Bryan and Brianna Chicken Fry, and he posts on social media that they were breaking up without telling her he was going to do that. He ended up on the celebrity dating app like immediately. And she was saying some of the other kind of crazy stuff that he was doing and then he had done previously to other girlfriends of his. And then, so I think, I'm pretty sure the number was $13 million that his team offered Brianna
to sign an NDA to never talk about their relationship again.
Damn.
She turned it down. Turned it down. And they went to Dave Portnoy and offered him millions of dollars to not talk about it on that podcast as well, and he turned it down. So now Portnoy and Josh Richards, on the two other people on the podcast with Brianna, are making diss tracks to Zach Bryan, and it's hilarious because it's Portnoy like doing like this rapping, and it's his voice, and it's just it's very, very funny, and you can find it out there. I think it was Country Diddy is what they called it. Because they're making like a P. Diddy reference in there too, which I don't think, I mean, Zach Bryan was not accused of anything that bad. But I mean, that is, you have to really stand your ground and have morals and have self-respect and pride to turn down $13 million just to not talk about your relationship. Like And I give her all the credit in the world. I don't know if I could do that. I honestly don't know if I could turn down $13 million. You're going to tell me all I have to do is not talk about my ex-boyfriend who I hate or ex-girlfriend who I hate for $13 million?
Unless she doesn't need it. I mean, that's another thing.
She's,
I don't know.
Who doesn't like, need Portnoy, $13 million,
I would understand Dave Portnoy not turning it down and not needing it. I don't know what her story is.
Well, I'm
that
sure
is
she
a
does
lot
well.
Of money.
Right, sure she does well, but she's certainly not making like $13 million a year or anything like that. But
the only question I would have then is how bad was the relationship? Like, what could she reveal? First of all, why would you offer that much money?
Because I think that the... Because you see when Barstool gets a grip of things and like they can really ruin a career, whatever it may be. You know, I think that they see how popular he is and are afraid that this PR hit that he's going to take may ruin his career.
Mm.
So the way they look at it is, okay, we got to change who you are and what you do when you're dating. So this is the last one of these. And let's pay off some of these ex-girlfriends so they don't talk about it. And you can still be on your skyrocketing music career. And we don't have to worry about this stuff.
Well, that's where I say, like, how bad was the, like, what happened that you would offer that much money? That's the million-dollar question, because that sounds terrible.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of money, man. That is a lot of money. Now, he also, so Dave Portnoy also hates him because when he went to see one of his shows with Brianna, Zach kicked out his dog, Miss Peaches, from the dressing room. Did not want the dog out there. And Miss Peaches is beloved by the internet community.
Got it.
Rescue dog, been through hell, very, very calm demeanor. Lovable dog. And
who doesn't? I mean, people who don't like dogs.
Yeah. Yeah. Strange. So
I don't know anybody that doesn't like dogs.
Oh, I know. Oh, I know some people who don't like dogs.
Really?
Yeah. One of my best friends cannot stand the dogs in my house. Gets freaked out by them, scared.
Wow.
Yeah. Like
well, getting scared is one thing if you've got a big, gigantic dog that looks like it's going to rip your face off. But to not like dogs, I mean, I don't know.
Strange.
I don't know anybody like that.
Yeah, no, it's very strange, but yeah. So this is an interesting one, and they, you know, anytime that Dave Portnoy wants to sink his teeth into something and really get news out there, he pours his full attention into it. But yeah, this is the one now. He's locked in on him.
The one thing I would say, if you usually take on Dave Portnoy, you usually lose.
Oh yeah, 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 100%.
Good luck.
I would have to agree. Nick in Pompton Plains, what's going on, Nick?
What's going on, guys? Hey. I'm pretty sure I would sell my wife and kid for $13 million.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm just kidding. I love my kids.
Oh, yeah. Good job, Nick. That was perfect. That's a good phone call right
there. It is a lot of money.
I would like to see her date Theo Vaughn. She was a guest on his show before I knew she was dating Zach Bryan.
Yeah.
They have very nice chemistry.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I would like to see those two get together.
Yeah, that is, that's a good one. I wonder if that, and he's a single guy, right?
He is, yeah. He's looking for a wife.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. I think he's a little, I mean, he's older than me, Theo Vaughn. She's in her 20s still. So that'd be a little bit of an age gap, I think.
That works.
What do you mean it works?
He's 44.
Okay. So yeah, older than 2 years older than me.
That's fine.
She's 27? Yeah,
she's 28.
28?
There's nothing wrong with that. Arthur Blank was dating a 42-year-old, apparently. Bill Belichick, a 25-year-old.
And Al Dukes beat that gap several times.
Yes, he did back in another lifetime. That is very true.
So you're saying 44 and 28.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No problem.
Right. Not at all.
What about 42 and 29?
No problem.
All right, because everybody says that I'm a creep for liking Dua Lipa. She's 29 years old.
No,
42.
Come on, no.
Because
people think
she's like 18 or something, you weirdos. No, she's going to be 30 years old, for God's sake.
There's nothing wrong with
this. So
there
you go. Thank you, Eddie. For God's
sake. This is Zach Bryan?
Yeah, I told you, right?
I don't know that I've ever seen him before.
I just Googled it, and yeah, I was surprised.
Same reaction?
Same exact reaction.
Huh.
No idea.
Interesting.
No idea who he was?
I had heard the name only because Al had told me how popular he was.
Right, if he would have walked in the studio prior to me Googling this, I would have thought he was a new employee.
Yeah, it was
funny. I would not have known.
I had a meltdown on the golf course when one of his songs came on, and I felt bad because my friend actually liked the guy. So I hit a bad shot. I mean, it's in my worst stretch of playing. I hit a bad shot, and this stupid one of his whiny songs comes on, and he's crying like a bitch. So I'm I throw the club back in the bag. I'm turn this off. This guy's a P-word. He's turning every man into a P-word.
Wow.
I can't stand him, this loser. Everybody I listen to him is a loser. And then the guy was like, well, I actually really like him. I was like, oh, sorry.
Maybe it's just misdirected anger.
So this is sappy country music?
I feel like everything that comes on is just him whining.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.